You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Hello and welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. I'm your host, G.P. Haggert, exorcist and theologian, author. Speaking of authorship, I just recently finished up a book. It's been out for a little while now. If you're on Amazon or any other bookstore, feel free to go grab it. It is called Serial Killers and Their Demons. A while ago, a friend of mine challenged me to evaluate some of the popular serial killers, and so I did. And he's like, "Well, you've been done a lot of exorcisms, so you know, why don't you go through them and determine how they got their demons?" So I'm like, "All right," and I did, and wrote a book about it. So yeah, that would help you to go through, and you know, I know that. Serial killers are kind of a popular subject in the paranormal community, and so if you get a chance, go grab a copy and check it out. Also, pretty soon here, my next book, Mechanics of Angelology, will be out soon, and you'll be able to get that. So once that's announced, I'll have a link in the descriptions and even all these books that I'm talking about today. Kind of enough of that though, but what I kind of want to get into on this podcast is more of talking about the new show, Legion of Exorcists. And a lot of you out there have asked me to review it. Didn't really want to, but I'm here, I'm doing it. And because I feel like I need to, because there's some things in there that need to be addressed. Let me just say one thing first, that a lot of what the Catholic Church does, what their interpretation of demonic possession is what the Protestant or Evangelical Church would define as possession. More or less what we would define as an extreme possession. So to the Protestant church, evangelical church, you know, we do some digging on people's backgrounds and we can find something. Whereas the Catholic Church doesn't really do that. They'll do minor deliverances. You know, they call it different degrees, like obsession, oppression, that kind of thing. They don't believe that the demon is actually in the person, but yet the Evangelical Church does. And I've seen it. You know, whereas somebody would say, "Well, this person is—it's just oppression. That's nothing big." Whereas, according to my experience, no, they're in there. They're just trying to break the person down slowly until they can get what the Catholics would define as full-on possession. It's possession. It's just called something differently in the Catholic Church. So let's just get that out of the way. Because demons, they got to be attached to something or someone. And there's just a lot of... That's another thing I want to get into too real quick is the myths of demons and demonic possession, which we'll get into also with reviewing the show, Legion of Exorcists. First, the one question to get out of the way, some of you have asked me, would I make an appearance on the Legion of Exorcists? Yeah, I would. Somebody's going to represent Christ. To be straight up front, I followed only two of all of the six exorcists on the show credible. Their stories I found very credible. The others I didn't so much. The one question I have is, okay, if it's a show on exorcists called Legion of Exorcists, then why is there a demonologist there? I have no idea. I don't know why that happens. I mean, it's very minor that demonologists would do exorcisms. They're more investigating, getting the evidence, and to convince an exorcist that there's something going on. Because a true exorcist, like myself, we have an objective diagnosis. We're not going to believe something until the devil shows up. And that to a degree can be different across the board in Orthodox Christianity, Catholic Christianity, and Protestant Christianity. So I have seen all six episodes. I wasn't impressed because, well, I love doing deliverance and exorcisms because it's not the fear factor at all. It's the fact that God shows up, and I can't wait for that. God shows up, starts directing the whole deliverance. You see miracles happen, and miracle takes place, and that person changes. They get a halo. They get that halo effect to just brighten right up. But a lot of what the exorcists on the show had described, I believe, is just either of their own making, or it just doesn't sound right at all. For one, I wasn't impressed by Bishop James Long's stories at all. There was, in fact, the second story that he talked about really was more taken from the movie or the story of The Exorcist than it was his own story. There's too many similarities. The other is that, you know, he said that you can't look in the eyes of the possessed. Maybe an extreme case, but that rarely ever happens. I look in the eyes of the possessed all the time when I'm doing deliverance and exorcism, just for the fact that the demon can see Jesus looking back at them, because Jesus lives inside the Christian. This whole thing that of demonic venom, I believe it was Reverend James, I think his name was, or Steve, I can't remember. The guy with a lot of tattoos, which, demons see, and they've admitted to this, that the blood that is brought out of a tattoo, they see that as a blood sacrifice. So why there's an exorcist with tattoos? Oh, I just kind of question that. This whole thing of demonic venom, I started laughing because I never heard of that before. Now, demons, they have word venom, you could say. They speak to somebody, they tap to somebody. You can see that as venom. That's spiritual. But the physical aspects of it, now demons can teleport an object from one place to another. And that's probably what happened in this minister's case, was the fact that it had teleported maybe some oil or some sort of toxin or whatever and threw it at him, you know, teleported it and then threw it at him. That's believable. I would believe that. That's probably more than likely what happened. Because I have seen on cases, stuff come up missing, you know, sets of objects coming up missing, that kind of thing, and then they teleport them back. The haunted objects. You could really see the experience of these exorcists on the show with the whole haunted objects type of thing. Again, demons have to attach themselves to something that is done through occult-wise or some sort of extreme emotional aspect of it. And then they prefer, I'll say this again, they prefer bodies. And if they can get a chance, they will split off a portion of themselves and put them into the person who has emotional issues. But they're going to stay behind in the object or in the person just for the fact that they're greedy. They want everything. They want to take over everything. So they're going to slice off a portion of themselves and put them in other things and other people. That gets me to one of their stories where, I believe it was Rita's, where there's a mother and a daughter having, you know, they believe that the demon was jumping to different people. Okay, they're the daughters. For one, the mother is the legal authority figure. And from a young age, if the mother has done something to get a demon, it is going to split off and go into the children prior to the age of maturity, 18. And then at that, they're going to stay there until something occurs. Now, I've had cases where where father, sons, a daughter, or mother, son, daughter, they're both under possessed. You know, the father usually accuses the child of having something, and after review, something pops up out of the parent, and then at the same time, something pops up out of the daughter. I've had witnesses say, "Why is that? Why is it jumping?" I'm like, "It's not jumping, it's the same spirit. It's the same spirit in the person." But one case I've had, a very good example of this, and was in Benkani. We had a mass deliverance last year, and I was originally going to do an exorcism on the mother, but what happened was she was being very avoidant, and she was actually throwing some of my stuff because it was holy. The demons didn't like that. So we took a break from her and started on the daughter. And kind of people were like, "Well, why are you going to do that? You know, when the demons are on the mother." Well, it's the same spirit. And I showed it. And had her break a Jezebel-type curse that's related to Jezebel. And she started laughing. And the mother started laughing. I'm like, "There you go. There's the spirit. It's just possessing both people at the same time because it has split off and went into the daughter." And so that's how that works. And so it was kind of laughable that, you know, they were thinking that it was jumping from one person to the other when it actually, they don't do that. They don't jump. They're already there. It's just they're dormant until something happens. And then, so that kind of goes back to the haunted object thing is, I would have to question Long and Rita's knowledge on haunted objects. For one thing, why does Long have a vault of haunted objects? Get rid of those. I mean, I have people that try to give me haunted objects, and I don't want them. They have attachments. Get rid of them. Bury them. Bind the spirit. Throw them in the trash. I have a friend who lives who works for a landfill in the county, and he says, "Yeah, I assure you that everything gets buried, and you're never going to see it again." So, And that's another thing is if you have have emotional issues that's going on, deep issues, even before you become an exorcist, you got to get those taken care of, or else you can have a dissociative that has a lot of pain that you may not know about and get attachments. After an exorcism, they can go into you. Which I believe is what has happened to Long and Rita. If you watch those episodes, the first two episodes, or in the first episode, Long has this doll, and he starts to see the crowd differently. Well, that right there is a sign that would tell me as an exorcist that, okay, you would need to talk to me because I believe you have something. In the same case as Rita's. Now, you that out there that, you know, in the paranormal or listen to this, you're probably laughing. But as I mentioned before, I have a transparent ministry, and anybody is invited to an exorcism if you're in Michigan. I actually have a couple coming up. Now, with the haunted objects, again, you can't touch them if you have emotional issues because they're going to split off and they're going to go into you. Now, also keep in mind that this ministry interrogates demons for information. We want to know how the enemy works, how the enemy operates, and what they're doing in darkness. And at the right time, when they are at their weakest, then they are susceptible to bringing the truth through the Holy Spirit. They're going to tell the truth. That's what we do. So how do you think I know all this stuff? So I don't prescribe to the Catholic method. I think the Catholic method of exorcism needs to be changed. It's a heathen prayer. God doesn't hear heathen prayers according to his word. And it is an emotional issue. Now, I'm not bashing. Now, before you Catholics come at me, for one, I have family who are Catholic. I have friends who are Catholic. And they've even sat down in my deliverances and exorcisms and observe things. And they can attest that it works. The method that I use actually works. So what we concentrate on is making the demon say an oath. I know that the Catholic rite of exorcism doesn't particularly do that. There's a lot of psalms involved. There's a lot of, you know, reading of prayers, that kind of thing. But a lot of the methods that the Protestants or evangelicals use is very similar to the Catholic Church method. It's just that what the Protestants always wanted to do is get back to the original church. And that's kind of what we're doing, as we're looking back in time to see what the original church did and their methods. And of course, we get the word exorcism from an oath. And we know that in the banishment method that the early church used, they actually made the demons say an oath to God of their own banishment, and they had to leave. But a lot of times today, and some, even as there's a problem in the Protestant church, that there are some pastors who would just say, "Hey, get out, demon, get out," and just keep saying that, and by authority of Christ, get out. That demon's not going anywhere when it has a legal right. So then they'll just hide and pretend like they left. And then I've had cases like that where I had to clean up after pastors, and the demon pops up, and yeah, I tricked them. I really got them. You know, I made them look like I left when I really didn't. Yeah. So there is even a problem in the Catholic Church of that they have done an exorcism, went through the whole prayer system of exorcism, and it looks like it left. And there's been cases where I've cleaned up after the Saginaw Diocese, and other exorcists around the region that have done deliverance. And there's been Catholics, I'd say this too, is the majority of the people that I do deliverance on are actually Catholics. Why? Because they're tired of waiting through all the red tape that the Catholic Church puts them through. Now I'll say this too, and you'll probably get mad at me, but the Catholic Church is only in the business of extreme cases. Very extreme. I know that I've said this before, but their idea of exorcism is things that are getting out of control, levitation, speaking in different languages or tongues, and knowledge of other things that are mysterious, you know. But that is an extreme case. And the very minor cases still have psychiatrists look at or psychologists look at, do those evaluations. And there's a waiting list, and it's a lot of red tape. Oh, you don't have any demons. You just need to go see the psychologist and get this figured out, when they actually could have demons because the demons have started the process of breaking down their will. So that's what we do. That's what we're looking at, is to heal the soul and to get them out before they do any damage and it becomes an extreme case. So that's what this ministry does. So overall, the Legion of Exorcists, I give it 2 out of 5 stars. The reason for that is because it's, one, there's a lot of Hollywood involved. Tone it down a bit. And because it's too Hollywoody and too unbelievable, and it makes the exorcist case that they talk about a laughingstock. And also get some authentic exorcists, because I mean, I know a few on there that are just, they're not real at all, by any means. And there's actually people in the paranormal community who are getting sick of seeing one particular exorcist on TV too much, representing exorcists at large in the paranormal community. And you know who you are. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people know that I'm talking about. I'm not going to name names. So that's my evaluation. Go ahead and laugh all you want. And again, if you're in Michigan and I have a case, you're welcome to sit in. We play exorcisms on this podcast for a reason. One, to evangelize, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the original church did exorcisms in public, and it was their, according to other scholars and theologians, it was the number one miracle that they performed. The pastor would go out into the crowd, open air preach, and the congregation went into the crowd, evangelized, demons came forward to confront them, and they would cast them out. It was spiritual warfare. The demons would of Rome, of Greece, other regions and province of the Roman Empire, would go into the authority and tempt them to go and kill the Christians, in which they did. So it was spiritual warfare, and the church kept at it, all the way up until Constantine and his Edict of Milan. And once that was passed, Christianity became the authoritative religion in all of Rome, the Roman Empire. And because the church felt that it had won, then it ceased all activity, very minor scale. I mean, we know this because it was more talked about, because whereas the early church, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries, they did it more commonly because we don't hear about it because it was done more commonly among Christians. Every Christian knew how to do it, so it was very common. So you didn't really talk about it. But as time progressed and Constantine made his Edict of Milan, we then start seeing records of early church fathers and philosophers start talking about it, writing it down more because it was a rarity. Then it just disappeared over time. But later on, I commend the Catholic Church for being the first branch of Christianity to actually bring it back, and but in a different form. So the original method needs to be gone back to and reforged. And that's what this ministry believes that we do, is we go back to the original method and how it was used and how it was done. So if you want to learn this method and learn what we do, I am setting up a Patreon page for training. And your monthly gift or membership on it, you know, it will help this ministry to get out more and to battle more demons, and will support this ministry. So we ahead of time, we appreciate your gift. So that's all I got for today. So that's kind of a review of the Legion of Exorcists. And but so I just kind of wanted to snuff out some of the myths also. So that just kind of shows you the experience level of these exorcists that are on the show. I found, I believe his name was Pastor Scott, the guy with the blazer, and Pastor Donnie, more credible than the others on the show. Their cases are actually very accurate. So if you want to see actual what stuff the exorcists go through, go back and watch any episodes where they tell their stories, and those are more credible than the others. The others, I couldn't sit there and believe what they were telling. Made me cock my head, and it really, their stories more hurt the exorcist in the paranormal community than anything else. And so it's very sad, especially one telling his story that is very similar to the exorcist, which which was laughable. So this is G.P. Haggart signing off. Have a blessed day. God bless you, and stay strong.